I was thinking the same thing. Whenever I was thinking about hopping on the call, I was like, I don't even know the last time we hopped on a call.
I know, it's been a hot minute.
It's like, what happened? The holidays. Everybody
Yeah,
always talks
I
about
know.
it.
It's hard. I knew the holidays. I knew we would take a break then. And then I wasn't sure how I was going to be. But
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how we had, like, okay. So, you know, like, we're just jumping into it, guys. So, hi.
Jumping in.
This to all. Where have we been? So, you know, we're like, knock on wood, we don't get very sick very often. I mean, my kids might get the sniffles like once a season, right? Like, I don't know if I told you this. I think I did. I got super sick in the end of October. Like, it was before we
You
went to
told
Florida.
me you got sick where and how?
Yeah, it was like a whole thing and it was like nasty. It turned into bronchitis. Like, I ended up going to urgent care because I forget. Oh, I think our doctor didn't have out. He doesn't have hours on Friday, and I like didn't want to wait till that Monday because it was like that bad. Like, it was something strange that had happened, and I was just like, "Oh my God, Chris! Like, I sound like I'm dying. Like, it's really disgusting." And Jude had a bug too, but like his was not. I mean, my cough was gnarly. I feel like when I use the holistic stuff on the kids, they respond quicker. But I also don't think I was like hitting it with the right stuff, if that makes sense. I was like throwing all these things at it, but not being consistent. And then I think it was like too many things. Also, it had turned into bronchitis. So it was like serious. And when he heard me, I went to urgent care, and the urgent care doctor was like cool as shit. He was like our age, and he's like, oh, like I could, I laughed, but he didn't hear it. And then he's like, okay, that's not like, that sounds a lot worse than what I'm hearing. Like, that's, I was like, yeah, it's gnarly, dude. Like, it's, he's like, I think you have pneumonia. And I'm like, no,
That's
that's
ridiculous.
So anyway, it wasn't pneumonia, but of course my husband was like so annoyed with me because I refused a chest x-ray, and then I let them talk me into a chest x-ray, which, you know, we have to pay for, like, very expensive. So my urgent care bill was like astronomical due to these like chest x-rays. I'm like, look, it would have changed the course of treatment. Like, I get it from a clinical standpoint.
Is what it is.
My wallet didn't like, anyway, I gave in and took an antibiotic, which, you know me.
I know. I know.
Don't ever want to do, guys. Like, the number of times I've needed an antibiotic in the past like 15 years is like so minimal. So I give in and I take it. And then like I knew we were planning on getting pregnant. And like I was like, okay, I was trying to time it so that like, okay, some people are gonna think this is weird. You're probably not, but I'm really into astrology and my sign in relation to like my children's signs, and I always avoid having a Scorpio. I'm sorry. I love Scorpios. Scorpio and Capricorns are star-crossed lovers, just so you know. I've dated two Scorpios. It's very intense. It doesn't really work in the real world, but it seems magical when it's happening. I love Scorpios, by the way. I have a friend that's a Scorpio. Totally cool. Just not fun to parent when you're a Capricorn.
I'm
So
a double Scorpio
get
under.
the freak out of here. See, I get along with Scorpios.
Well,
I
I'm a
just,
Leo double, like Leo sunshine, sun sign, and then double rising and ascending or whatever.
yeah, that's crazy. You got a lot of Scorpio.
Yeah, man.
Scorpios are great. I just like couldn't, can't have a child with Scorpio. So
Get it? I get it. I get it.
people might think I'm corny out there. If you're really into the spiritual realm, you're into astrology, I purposely don't have plan my babies so that they fall in the Scorpio sun season. So
This
I was
is.
like, yes, we either have to do this now, and if it works out, it'll be great, but then we can try again this month, and then we have to skip a month. And he's like, oh my God, you're freaking psycho. Like, well, I just got over being sick. Like, we're getting into the winter. You know, the holidays come. And that's kind of crazy. Even though you don't want it to be, it always ends up being crazy. So I feel like I was having like a level of stress that I couldn't understand why. And I'm like, okay, I need to like take this down a notch, but I don't know why I'm so stressed. And then on top of that, I was like, okay, well, we should just start trying for a baby. So we get pregnant right away again, like awesome for me. But then I was like, oh, and now I'm pregnant and I feel like
Valentine.
overwhelmed and stressed. And then I'm like, then I start questioning myself. Like, that ego creeps in, and I'm like, should I really have done this? Should I have done this now? Maybe I should have waited. Maybe we just shouldn't have a third. And I'm like, well, too effing late now because you're pregos. So totally fine. We're excited. I think I just had to get through the holidays to like actually let myself enjoy the fact that I was pregnant. It just felt very like I was very indifferent at the time, if that makes sense.
You were very sick.
I was so sick. Like, my first trimesters are not glamorous. Like, Sarah gets sick too. Like, I'll be honest, I don't enjoy being pregnant. It's a gift. It is so, such a miracle. It's so cool. The whole experience is amazing. It's not my favorite thing. Physically, emotionally, like, it is just not my jam. Like, some people love it. I don't care for it. And I particularly don't care for, like, the first 16 weeks.
I really like that there's like 4 weeks in the second trimester where it's fine. Other than that, I'm like, the other 36 weeks are gonna suck.
Then I just feel big and fat and like nothing fits. Even like maternity clothes, I'm like, I don't like this. Like, and then you're just by the end, you're really like, whoa, somebody just come in and reach in and grab this thing because I don't even want it anymore. And I don't mean not want it. I meant like be fine any longer. But just to clarify, people might get offended by that. But So like I started feeling, I was like, oh, I feel good. Like I have energy. I'm good. Maybe I won't be as sick this time. Right? Like psychotic every time I think that. Maybe I'll be one of those women. Cause like week 5 to 6, I'm still like hardcore exercising and I can drink my coffee and I'm like, yeah, like I got energy, but I'm pregnant. And then it just like goes to shit. Like it just starts crumbling from like the 68 week mark. It gets worse and worse. But Jude and I got so sick like around New Year's Eve. Like, I mean, I was sicker than when I was sick in October. And now at this point, I'm just pissed because I'm like, I don't understand how this keeps happening. Like, not normal for us as a family, not normal for me. I wasn't Jude wasn't really sleeping well for a while, like a really long time. So like, I think that played a huge part in it. Cause I just couldn't rest and recover, you know, and
It's important.
You're building a human.
Yeah.
Like the baby's not big in the beginning, but you're manufacturing placenta. You're exhausted. You're physically just like pushed to the brink of depletion. And you know, I wasn't really I wasn't my best during the holidays, you know, as far as like activity and like what I was consuming. So I think I was way over the sugar, you know what I mean, Mark, and stuff like that. So Jude and I got this gnarly virus. I don't even know what it was. I'm pretty sure it had to be some type of flu. Still swear it was COVID, even though that was negative. And the only reason I tested myself was so I could decide what supplements and stuff I wanted to give him. And I was like, again, using all this like homeopathy and throwing things at it. And it was bad. Like the whole month of January, for the half the month we were sick. But then once the virus went away, on top of that, I got an adult ear infection, which
Jesus Christ.
Shout out to everybody out there who's listening. Cause I've talked to you about 50 adults that have had ear infections this year. Have my theories about that.
I had a patient have a fungal ear infection.
Adult ear infections aren't super common. They're not super normal. And again, I'm not going to get into why I think they're very common this year, but
No, we should. Why?
We could. Anyway, I get this ear infection on top of, like, I'm on my deathbed, Sarah. And then this pain starts in my ear that literally I woke up in the middle of the night and I said to Chris, it is so bad. I think my eardrum is ruptured. Like, I really want to go to the ER because I need someone to look at it. Because again, like I can't put certain things in my ear if it's ruptured. I'm like, the pain is so horrific. I don't even know if that's what it is. Like, it seems that's what it is. And he's like, well, you know, if you want to go. And then I'm like, I don't want to spend money on the emergency room. And I just go, you know, again, urgent care would have been the cheaper choice. So I wake up and he takes me like that Sunday morning. Like my in-laws watch the kids. So then I had to get, you know, deal with this ear infection on top of being sick. And then it was like, my mom kept saying, are you sick from like being sick or are you sick from being pregnant? And I'm like, dude, I don't even know anymore.
I'm like, right now.
I'm like, I just I don't know which way is up. Like, I spent the whole month of January, I think, on my couch. I don't even know my poor toddler. Like, I don't know. His quality of life was just whatever mommy can manage. Like, I felt horrible. But that's where we've been. So you and I have not been recording. Mm-mm. I mean, you guys managed to survive the holidays. Did you have sickness?
This year. Did we have sickness? Can't even think.
I feel like you haven't. Not like I had.
Not like you had. Like, if we had anything, it was like a few days. The boys maybe got like congested. But then, like, it's not like Eli's in daycare right now. They go to the library. We don't. We go out, but they're not like. But you have B, who's in school, you know? Like.
Yeah, you're trying to be. Yeah. Oddly enough, too, Bianca's got like Chris's immune system, and those two, like, I mean, literally, Jude and I
can be a typhoid Mary.
Yeah, and they never get like a touch of, which is amazing. And Jude's pretty good too, but if he's got like the sniffles, it lingers. She's like a day or two. He's like, again, I usually just go to the chiropractor though, and it wipes it out of both of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've been fine. It's just like our own battle is Archie. Like, Archie does not sleep like Eli slept, and
it's hard.
It's not like Jude. But sometimes it is. It's like every 2 hours he's up and he's nursing.
It's hard.
It's hard.
And when you have other kids, it's really hard because you're not just caring for one. It's you've got to function.
And it's like, these are, we have like no plan for this episode, but like, we're going to do like rapid fire breastfeeding questions while they're on my mind.
Sure.
Let's bring it to the people. Like,
So wait, how many months is he?
He's 7.
Okay.
He's getting teeth. You know how many times this boy has nicked me?
Yeah, I know. Bianca never bit me in years and years of breastfeeding. And Jude, like, I mean, yelled in the middle of the night. I've yelled out. It hurts so much. Like, he's bit me.
I look down and I'm just like bleeding. I'm like, dude.
Jesus, yeah.
Like,
I know.
Okay, let's talk about unpopular opinions. Nursing your baby to sleep.
Yeah. It's easy and it works.
Because I'm like, that's just what I gotta do.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's unpopular. I mean, it is by
law. I feel like it's shamed.
Oh, it's shame, but like, I mean, in the space that I'm in, like, we recommend it. There's melatonin in breast milk. So, like, it's meant to be sleepy. You get sleepy from nursing the baby. Like, there's chemicals and hormones that are happening within you, too. Like, the whole thing is designed so that mom and baby are, like, in sync.
Right.
Like, it's wild. I remember studying for my exam. Like, there's even babies can sense mom's arousal. Like, they will wake if, like, you have, like, a dream or, like, you know, you're with your partner. Like, there's, like, they can sense, like, those hormones. Like, there's such a connection between the mother and the baby, like, hormonally. It's crazy.
I, like, we took down the side sleeper and we put Archie in, like, a crib in our room.
Okay.
And, like, we sleep better. But I was expecting to get, like, longer stretches and it's, like... Yeah.
No. They're all so different with sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what's really hard is if your first one is a good sleeper.
Yep. And I mean, Eli's been a pretty good sleeper, but I feel like Archie, he just wants to be with his brother.
Yeah. He
wants to be awake. And I'm like, babe, you've not napped today. Mm-hmm. Just take a rest. Yeah. So, like, that was my unpopular opinion. I think that's really good information. I knew there was melatonin, but like, I guess I never really put together the fact that you also get sleepy while you nurse.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that like, there's a lot of information as far as like bed sharing and SIDS and all this stuff. But La Leche League came out with that Safe Sleep 7
a long
time ago. And that's you know, what we are to teach families if they're co-sleeping.
Put Archie right in bed with me.
Yeah, well, yeah, like,
it is what it is. So tired.
Pediatricians make it really tough on families because mm-hmm. I feel like they feel shame and guilt, and they lie about where their babies are sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And they're told this is the safest thing, you know, in a crib, on their backs. Like, again, there's a lot of things that go into that and SIDS. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily have to do with sleep location and how the baby is sleeping. It's important to co-sleep safely. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of ways to do that. And that's why you have to try to make that information available to parents, and really healthcare providers should be too. Because the biological norm has always been that the baby sleeps with the mother.
I've been seeing, maybe it's like the algorithm I'm in or whatever, but it's like a lot of promoting like shared sleeping situations and things mm-hmm. like that. And that like in most other countries and biologically, until they're like 7 years old.
Yeah. People are scared. They're afraid of what other people are going to think, especially their physicians, which is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are the authority on your baby, and nobody should shame you or tell you, you know, again, it has to be done safely. So I think that's what the key is that we need to support parents so that everybody can get the proper rest that they need.
Goodness, right?
And not make them feel bad. And the thing about it is that this is why sleep trainers and these sleep coaches make all of this money. Because parents are so tired and they have to work and they're so desperate for sleep. They think the solution is some type of sleep training or following a specific schedule. And people love that eat, sleep, play schedule. And I'm sorry, like breastfeeding,
it's impossible.
You can't put babies on a schedule if they're breastfeeding. I said what I said. Whoever's listening that disagrees with me, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm the feeding expert, unless you are, and you know, you want to go toe to toe on this, but most IBCLCs would say the same thing too. You can't put babies on a schedule. So the whole thing that they have laid out, you know, where, oh, every 2 to 3 hours. Okay. That's insane. First off, it's not enough most of the time. And second off, like you're restricting their biological norm when you put them on these schedules. And I mean, I guess it works if you're, you know, formula feeding and you can stretch them out because they're eating longer
mm-hmm.
or they're going longer between feeds. But I think if you're actually using breast milk or human milk, you know, as a ways to feed your baby, whether it's by bottle or actually at the breast, you're going to drive yourself nuts if you like do anything other than listen to your baby's cues.
Right. And it's like, there are some times where I'm like, I know he's hungry again. And like, he needs to eat and he'll go to sleep.
He's fine. They just want to nurse for another reason. Just nurse for food.
Archie's the most comfort nursing. Like, well, you know, everybody knows Eli weaned himself, but Archie's just like, no, I love to nurse. Do not give me a blankie. I just want my mom.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you pick me up in the middle of the night, Dad?
Like, yeah.
Fine, change my diaper. I will be unhappy until I'm in my mother's arms. Like, that's just who he is.
Well, it's just easier to put them back down because you just give them a boob.
Yeah. So that was my unpopular question one. Unpopular question two, man. You know, like, I haven't been sick or anything, but I have been struggling. And I know so many, not just moms, but women. What about breastfeeding women? This weight, man.
Yeah.
Weight loss.
Well, so there's a lot of factors that play into that. It has to do with a lot of times, you know, how quickly you return to exercise, what your body was pre-baby, right? And like what your habits were. There's also, again, like the hormones could be different. Like your hormone levels might be different with this baby than they were with the last baby. Because my experience with baby number two was not the same as baby number one.
Mm-hmm.
And like a big piece of that is your cortisol level and inflammation in your body. And unfortunately, what it comes down to too is a lack of sleep and rest. Yeah. And that's elevated. And that's, I mean, your body's like primed to hold on to, you know, extra weight and extra fat stores when you're breastfeeding. And then some people, it just like falls off and they can't keep weight on. And like, I get that. I mean, that was definitely my experience the first time. There's also, I mean, it's harder every time you have a baby to like lose the baby weight, I feel like. So there's that piece of it too.
It was so wild. Before Christmas, I like really started tracking everything and I like lost 7 pounds, no problem.
Yeah.
And then I gained it all back. Nothing's moving. I told Mike to hire the scale for me. I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm working out and I'm tracking things and yet like nothing's happening.
But it has a lot to do. I mean, I ended up doing hormone testing with Chloe.
I'm going to have to. I have a kit here. I might as well just do it.
It helped me a little. I mean, I should say a little. It helped a lot. And we also got to the root of something that had been an issue for me for like a long time. But like my inflammation markers and my cortisol, like from not sleep, like she literally said to me, like, if there's any way you can cut down on night nursing or get more sleep, like this is the main issue. Like, and it does, it comes down to that because it naturally raises your cortisol and that has a cascade effect on like every single hormone in your body. And weight loss is very hormonal. Like it really, like everything has to be like functioning properly. You know, your body feels like it's under attack, you know, and you're like, you're threatened right now.
I've never weighed this much in my life.
I hear you.
I'm like,
no, I get it. And there's two sides of the spectrum. There's the people that lose it right away and breastfeeding, it just falls off for them. And then the same woman could have so many different experiences, right? Yeah. Like we both know that. Like we both have had different experiences with two different babies and your body's just going to react differently.
You know what the most frustrating thing is when you talk to people about this and their response is, I don't know what you're talking about. After pregnancy and I'm like,
it's hard. It's so hard. That's like people who are like, oh, I have no idea. Cause like, I was just never sick. I guess I never had any of that. And I'm like,
like, just tell me it sucks and move on. Like, that's all.
You're like, what? Just
tell me it sucks.
You're like, how are you not? You're not nauseous or puking or
everything. One puke every second. Yeah. Sent
over the top. Like, how is that not a thing for people? It's not. Some people feel great.
Which is like, that would be wild to me to feel great.
Or just not feel sick, right? Yeah. Like you're like, okay, well, if I could just like not be nauseous,
I could feel like I wasn't on a boat all day. That'd be great.
Wait, you know how I described it? And my friend described it like this last week. It was like the same thing. It feels like the worst hangover that you just like can never get out of.
Yes. Yes.
Like when you're real tired in the beginning too, and you have that foggy feeling, I feel like it's like,
you're dissociated from your body.
And it affects, it really, like, I noticed, Chris pointed it out during my first pregnancy, but I started feeling that way too. It was like affecting my mental health because all I could do besides go to work was lay on the couch.
Yeah.
And sleep because that's the only time I felt relief.
Man, what a beautiful time. Your first pregnancy, man, you take it for granted.
Even though you're working and like I had a commute to work, like it's still was like, okay, all I have to do is like survive and then I can just get home and lay on my couch and die and repeat the same process. And then the weekends, like I wouldn't move off the couch, but like the weather would be so nice and it was just like, it's so depressing. And I started feeling that way towards the end of January. I was like, man, if I can't get out of this and like start functioning like a person, I'm literally going over the deep end because I feel like I can do nothing except lay on my couch and stare at the wall.
It's like the saddest song, but like, Like, I just imagine this, like, really sad ballad playing and just, like, staring at the ceiling and just being totally fine.
I feel so bad for you, like, trying to conceive, or anybody out there listening who, like, wants to eventually have children. I feel like we're not painting a very pretty picture, but, like.
Then there's Dr. Rachel, fourth baby.
It's kind of reality, too, for people. I'm like, I hate to lie. Pregnant. I wish people didn't lie about stuff, or at least talked about it more, which I think that is, like, a thing now. I do think there's a lot of people talking about a lot more stuff, especially on social media, but it's also can be scary and daunting and overwhelming if you've never been through it before and you're like, oh, that sounds terrible, but, like, I really want.
I had a great conversation with a mom of five a couple weeks ago. She has four girls and a boy, and her oldest just went to college, and she was talking to me about how easy it was for her to get pregnant and how her daughter is, like, having health problems. So she is fearful because, like, her cycle is inconsistent. She just got a bunch of testing. I just looked at the paperwork a couple hours ago, and oh my God, like, she needs, like, a lot of help with inflammatory factors and stuff like that. But she was like, it's been so easy for me to get pregnant that I never realized that I can't explain how to get pregnant in the cycle to my girls.
Yeah, because it was just never, like, she never needed to understand it.
So I took that information, I ran with it. I wrote a children's book this week.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
I need to publish that.
I'm going to get it illustrated and published. So you know, as soon as that happens, I'll drop a link on this episode. But it's about your cycle and explained in very easy terms so that moms can start, like, explaining this to their daughters, because, like, it is when you learn about your cycle and you learn about your body, it's so empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Because until you understand it, I feel like it's a very fearful thing.
It is.
It's like pregnancy. Until it is explained to you, it's just like this total unknown, good or bad.
It took us 6 months to get pregnant with Bianca, and I thought we were both healthy. I was like, we're young. You know, I was like 30. I had her when I was 32. I think I got pregnant when I was 32 as well. So I was like, we should have no issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been off of birth control for a couple years. Like, I was like, oh, it's cleared from my system. Like, my cycle's 20. Like, my cycle is like 28 days. It's like perfection, right? Like, and I thought we would have no problem. Well, like, month went by, another month. It feels like everybody around you is getting pregnant. Like, anybody trying to conceive knows what that feels like. And I mean, there's people that struggle, I know, for years, you know, and go through a lot more. But I thought I knew what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was doing.
Most people don't. So we're going to have a guest on.
The new fertility awareness method, because there's a couple people we can have on for that, too.
We're going to have a guest on. She's a really good friend of mine. She works in, like, childhood development, and she didn't understand a lot about her body until she started listening to our podcast.
It's hard. And I think the problem is you just, like, download an app and you track your cycle, and it's like, you're fertile these days. That didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. And I'll tell you why. I actually think with Bianca, I got pregnant, I think I was ovulating a lot later than I actually thought I was. So we had, like, gone away on vacation, we had missed the window. Boom, we end up pregnant.
Yeah, so you were trying on the wrong days.
Like, Chris, I think I was ovulating way later in my cycle than I thought I was. Now I know I ovulate a lot earlier in my cycle than I used to. I know what I'm doing.
Let's acknowledge the elephant in the room. When you're trying to get pregnant and you're trying to hit a certain window, let's be honest, after that window, you don't want to do anything
anymore. And I know we have close friends that talk, like, I know everyone listening can understand. It's not fun. Let's just put it out there. When we're trying to conceive, it's all business. And it I swear this last time it was like not even, I was like so stressed. It was Christmas. Like, I'm like, just
it's time.
I was like, look, We need to pause it. We need to move on.
I need to wrap Christmas presents. So, like,
yeah, I'm like, these are the days I want to put like a little bit of window in between. Like,
it's so true because, like, after that window, you're like, that was
and
a lot.
Just like, I'm so like, and then like Jude was getting up so much, and I'm like, I'm just so tired. Goodbye. Good night. Yeah. Like, we're good. Like, and, you know, like, that's the reality. It's a lot of work when you're trying. And I know friends that agree with me, and I know a lot of women listening. And when you're trying to do that for so long, it like really wears on the both of you.
Yeah, it does.
Because it just becomes like not fun anymore.
It's a task.
Right. And it's not, that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know, and that's not what it was designed for. Well, actually it is what it was designed for, but like, you know.
Well, it's like yes and no, right? Because like, I feel humans are different than like other animals and that there's actual pleasure involved with it. So like,
there's like, you know, our prefrontal cortex is much more developed too. And
so like, yes, it was designed for both.
Yeah. Like there's a pleasure aspect and there's actually a procreation aspect where we have to keep the species going.
There are such a dividends on this topic. It's like, guys, it's both. It's just both.
Oh, you mean with
oh, sex? Yeah. Yeah. Like, I feel like our society's like, it should only be viewed as like a pleasure thing and like the consequences don't matter. And then it's like, well, no, it's for.
Well, I mean,
like, no, it's both, guys.
Right. It's both. Like primitive. Like, this is what we were designed for, to procreate and make more human beings. Like, we're that's just any that animal. Both. Yeah. It is both. And I mean, of course there's a pleasure aspect because nature wants you to want to have sex. So you procreate. Like, if it sucked, why would you want to do it?
Right.
I mean, really, like if it was like not enjoyable, there would be no point.
Isn't that so funny whenever you like watch like period pieces and like if they're in an arranged marriage, they always show like the woman having like the most horrible, like,
no, it probably is a horrible experience.
It probably is a horrible experience, but like, I mean, like, it's always like, I guess it's always like the woman always looks like, why the hell am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I feel like that also teaches women to feel a lot of shame with it too,
or something they have to do. And I mean, look at like, even like medieval times and like before that, you know, women used to get ready before bed and then they would wait until the king called them, if he called that night. Like, you've seen Game of Thrones, like, it's like, you know, that's like, that was like normal back then, like for that, at least for that level of society.
Isn't that wild?
And like your job was to basically be like done up and wait and see if your husband was going to call for you that night.
That's so wild.
That is wild. It's like, fun. It blows my mind how far we've come and yet how backwards we go sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how we got here.
The thing is like, it goes down to like, you know, it comes back again to like the patriarchy and women not owning and being able to be in control of their bodies. And I mean, like, you're talking about the whole pleasure aspect. It's like, oh, okay, well, like, there's supposed to be a pleasure aspect for women. Like, yes, if you know anything about reproduction, a woman having an orgasm is actually important for the sperm to get pushed up into the cervix and where it needs to go. So, like, yeah, it is actually supposed to be pleasurable for both people. Like,
I just feel like that stuff is just still so unknown. So unknown.
It's still like very taboo too.
It's like you said, we make all these strides forward and so we're still so backwards.
Well, and I still think about like the whole, you know, I'm pregnant, so like birth is very much prominent as a conversation in our house and like on the regular about planning and like, you know, who you're gonna have here and like what's gonna happen. And like, I follow lots of birth accounts and you probably do too. And we've talked with the, we talked with Oceana about this actually from Sacred Birth Motherhood, where birth was never in the hands of men. It was never in the hands of medicine. It was white men that came in and decided to monetize and take over the whole industry. And now right. we have what we have, and people just go with it.
I have, I'll have to put it in the notes. There's this podcast, it's a chiropractor. It's called She Slays the Day. And she had a OBGYN on who took himself out of the hospital and does strictly home births now as an OB. And the way he describes why he got out of that environment is just so eye-opening.
It's
well, not for me, but like if
we'll link it. You should send it to me. We'll link it in the show notes, because there's a lot of things that people just accept. And we talk about this on our pod a lot as far as health and wellness, but especially in birth. And I feel super passionate about this. There's a lot of things that people just accept as normal or part of the process or what's supposed to happen, which is just downright wrong. Invasive, manipulative.
Well, he was saying like
disgusting. I mean, some things I follow in these birth accounts and videos that they share, I'm literally like sick to my stomach and disturbed at what people allow to happen to them, or they don't even realize is like, this shouldn't be part, should be normal.
He was talking about like, it was either he left the medical system or like the hospital system, or he was going to be pushed out because he was essentially like, well, I wasn't checking the cervix because I found when I didn't check the cervix, things just
progressed better because you don't check the cervix. Like, you don't. I'm sorry for everybody listening. Like, stop agreeing to cervical exams, please. Yeah.
Just tell them as soon as you get there.
Like, you'll know when to push. Like, your body should know, your body knows when to push.
Yeah. And like, it's just, it's very fascinating, and I'll have to put it in the show notes here, but.
Well, because it's a system and it has to make money.
Yeah. And he was like, and there's also like standard of care.
An hour. They need you to progress a centimeter an hour. And if you don't, that's really annoying to them. So then if you're in labor 2 days, that's, you know, is not ideal for anybody. Mm-hmm. And then they, you know, need to push things along because.
Because
you need to go,
or I'm super impatient.
Yeah,
but
and there's always going to be a need for medical birth, right? There's always going to be a need for transfers and a C-section, and like you just can't avoid some things,
right?
And like that's okay. It's there if you need it, and it's good that it's there when there's an emergency, or if that's the safest environment for something that has kind of gone awry. But
yeah. Do we also put ourselves in situations that make things go awry?
Yeah, I think we do that all the time. We do it with our health every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every day. But
yeah, that's crazy. And you know, it's funny because a lot of the OBs were... I don't want to say different, but they were different 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And you had like people that were actually like a little bit more lax. I feel like it's gotten increasingly worse in the medical system for so many things, but birth especially.
Well, that's what he was saying. He was like, you know, we're essentially just trained as surgeons. We're trained as surgeons to do C-sections.
Yeah, they don't really need to be there for normal physiological birth.
No. And he was like, I was essentially just on call to do a C-section. And he said, and it was honestly dangerous because I'm there for like 12 hours. And if you need a C-section at the end of my shift, like
I'm exhausted.
And yeah. I'm supposed to cut through 8 layers of tissue and deliver a baby on a mom that probably has comorbidities and is not healthy.
Yeah. Yeah. I've talked about this before, and you know I feel this way, but that's the other part that is a big issue, is that the problem is that moms aren't really that healthy. and you have a lot of healthy, unhealthy moms and babies. So you can't have home births or normal physiological births because you need to be monitoring X, Y, and Z condition, or X, Y, and Z condition popped up, or, you know, and that's not to say that things aren't just going to pop up even if you're healthy, because they are. Like, anyone can develop preeclampsia. You know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of things. But, I mean, if you do your research, a lot of the times, a lot of things can be avoided because of nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And certain nutritional things that are missing, and that's why you developed X, Y, and Z. So, like, there's a lot that is, I feel like, a lot of information that's out there, and because it's not mainstream medicine, it's withheld from people. And I think that's like our biggest crime to humanity now.
I think a lot of people, and I just talked to a patient about this, and I'm looking for a company that I can do testing for my patients, but a lot of women like us are hitting that like 2-year postpartum mark and having another baby, and never getting the proper panels to see where your nutrition was at after the first.
Mm-hmm.
So inevitably, you're going to be
depleted.
Right. And then that's going to lead to issues like you were just talking about.
So many issues. And then you breastfeed. And again, it's the back-to-back babies is very problematic. And that's something that I know a lot of people do, and I'm not judging that at all. But the problem is nutritionally, if you didn't know your status before, it wasn't checked after birth, and then you breastfed for a certain period of time, and then you get pregnant right away. There's a whole book I'm reading called Deep Nutrition, and it blows your mind because she spends a lot of time talking about how subsequent babies and births are never... That first baby is always more robust because they got the best of mom's nutrition in her stores, and they were not built up enough. And that's why I always preach that book, The Postnatal Depletion Cure, because he's a physician that continued to see moms over and over again. And he was literally treating them postpartum for all the same things. And he's like, they're all nutritionally depleted in like a certain like 6 to 10 nutrients. You know, and there's like certain things, and they're not eating right, and they're not sleeping. And he's like, they're literally spent and exhausted and like stressed to the max.
And I think the argument there is like, well, you know, my grandmother had 8 children and back to back to back, and she was fine.
Nutrition was different. Their nutrition was
different. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Different, guys. And I don't care who you are. You can argue with me all you want about how supplements aren't needed. Our soil is so depleted. Not even the healthiest human being eating the healthiest diet is going to be nutrition-wise perfect.
There was no access to like processed food. No. And to go out for a night, like,
that wasn't,
you didn't
a,
do it.
Yeah,
that wasn't
alcohol,
a thing.
Like, there, like, the stuff is just so few and far between. It's, and they
weren't working.
This. Yeah. Most they talk
women
about this.
They're not working.
Stress level of women in modern society. And she talks about this in Deep Nutrition too. And it's so good. And I just love it from a breastfeeding perspective, because she goes into the Weston Price work and the jaw and the mouth and the skull and a lot, you know, some of the holistic IBCLCs I listen to and take trainings from. And they'll talk about this too. Like, we did not evolve slowly enough the way that our jaws and mouths and teeth and heads and skulls are shaped. Like, that's not evolution. Evolution takes thousands and thousands of years. This is something that happened, you know, because of modern food and industrial revolution.
It made it worse.
And no, like you're paying,
our food is getting worse.
We're suffering the consequences. It's hard. It's hard to get good food. And it's hard to hear all the conflicting advice. No seed oils, no animal products, no meat. No, eat meat, but it just has to be grass-fed. Like,
it has to be grown in a lab.
Yeah, don't go vegan because now you're nutritionally depleted in all these things. And then, you know, don't drink all that soy milk and almond milk because of the seed oils. And like, oh my God. And like, it's literally so overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
So overwhelming. Like, if you just go back to the basics and look at the real food that we've eaten as humans from the beginning of time and cut out all the processed stuff, we'd probably alleviate like 75% of our health problems.
I just think it's so funny when people like Jordan, I don't think you'll ever listen to this podcast, but Mike's best friend, Jordan, will say, like, it's just easier for me to pick something up on the way home.
Of course it is. We all know that.
The man is single, no kids. I'm like, you can spend 20 minutes cooking rice, a piece of chicken, and a vegetable, man. And I guarantee, like, 20 minutes compared to a 15 minutes. Yeah. Like, come on, dude.
And I mean,
people
can argue over which diet is better. I think it just needs to be nutritionally dense.
Mm-hmm.
The least processed that you can find. And I will say, I do think it's important that you have your levels checked for things. I think it's important to get your hormone levels checked as you age, you know, and I don't mean the panels that your doctors are running, because unless you have a physician that is a little bit more naturally minded, which I know we do, and I know I see a lot of families who are very holistic. So a lot of their pediatricians and family doctors are more in line with that. There's lab work that has to be run that is, like, so outside the box that there's no other way to check for it except by doing those things. And we're doing people such a disservice by not making that stuff accessible or part of standard lab work.
It should be standard of care for, like, your 6-week appointment. Like, not a phone call, FaceTime check-in. It's like, no, like, draw my blood, see where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this so hard for us to do?
Well, and then the other thing you run into is you have this litany of tests that can be done, right? Whether it's thyroid hormone, and, like, if somebody's having milk supply issues, there's a ton of nutritional things that should be looked at. And, like, the doctors don't want to run it.
Yeah, because they don't want to be liable.
Well, and they also, I think, half the time don't understand what they're looking for. Right. Their area of expertise, or it's either expensive for the patient, it's not covered. That's also, I mean, like, we've talked about this before, but it's not accessible for everybody.
Well, that's why in Pennsylvania, I can order blood work. I just don't know if the insurance company will cover it if I order it for people.
Right.
So it's like, I can order this for you. You have to be willing to pay out of pocket for it, though.
Well, that's, and I mean, it comes down to that so often. How many times do so many of us pay out of pocket, you know, because you want to see what's going on.
And that's, I'm about to have Mike write me a script to go get the blood work done.
Yeah. And see what's going. Yeah. I mean,
I know.
It's important, and it'll let you know where you're at. So you have a baseline, and you can kind of be like, okay, like, oh, this makes sense. This is what I need to work on. Or these are the supplements I can use.
Like you said, with your sickness, just throwing shit in your body isn't going to fix it.
Right. Because you got to know what you're working with.
Right. And so I was talking to my supplement rep about this. Apparently someone had developed a hand scan.
Mm-hmm.
Where you like put your hand in a machine and it scans your palm and it gives you a complete like nutrient and vitamin like reading.
Without. We have something like that with the oils for Young Living, and it matches their supplements and their oils, and it has to do with like, oh my God, I forget how it works. But it's kind of like a heart rate monitor.
Yeah.
It matches like the wavelength or the frequency for that particular like supplement or oil. And it's so weird because you think it's like nuts, but it's so accurate every time you like read it or you do one for yourself or somebody else.
I'm going to see. So this is where you are, and this is where you're at when you're postpartum. He sent me the link to like look into seeing if other people are like selling their units, because I forget why, and I haven't done it. So maybe I'll get that, and you and I can test.
I know, see what it's like. Yeah. It's hard, and remember, you are like you're still not even at a year postpartum.
I know.
It's like hard to like think that way, but like your body is still trying to like restore itself.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do that too when you're not resting.
I know, like, I can just tell, like, in my face, like, being on this phone call, I'm like, oh my god, my face is still so swollen. It's what it is.
It's hard. I know. It's really hard.
He's super cute.
You have to be patient with yourself. It's just a different journey this time.
Well, yes. I'm gonna let's share a positive thing before we get off the phone. So my positive thing that I've been like talking to a lot of people about.
What's that?
It's so cute. Archie learned to clap.
I love it.
And he has like these three little teeth.
I love the little teeth in the front. It's like so fun.
Looks like this little hobo that just like clap, clap, clap. And it's like
it's so cute until they bite you.
Yeah, it's so cute until he draws blood. But he's just like Eli will go up to him and be like, clap, 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 Archie. And he'll like
while
he's practicing and like watching his hands. It's just the cutest thing. So that's my one thing.
Well, I'm getting more sleep finally. So that's like a positive. I mean, we're not like sleeping through the night, but he's really not getting up that much, which is awesome. But my milk is also drying up. So he doesn't have a reason to like nurse like often or as long. So he like uses it to go to sleep and to lay down for a nap. And then he might wake like twice over the night and like look for it. And then I'm like, there's nothing coming out. I'm like, go to sleep. And I like tap him and he rolls over.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah, I'm just like hoping we can stop completely before it shifts and like I start to get milk back in.
Yeah.
And like, oh god, Chris, I'm like, I'm so afraid he's gonna like hang on and then one day there's gonna be milk and
Mom, we went to the store.
It like really hurts. That's when I stopped with Bianca and I was like, but she was old enough that I could explain to her we had to stop, it hurt.
Yeah.
And like this is just like it hurts so bad, you know, like they're very sensitive in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you told everyone. So sorry, everyone, to keep you on it. You told everyone you're pregnant. Did you tell everyone what you're having?
No, we're having another little girl.
Are you excited?
I am excited. We're all excited. Yeah. Bianca's exceptionally excited.
She heard that video of her. It was so cute.
She's like over the moon. I really felt like I could care less. Like, it didn't matter. I would have been happy either way. But she was like, I just really want a sister mom. And I'm like, you know, we explained to her. She understands that's not how it works. But I was kind of happy that she got what she wanted, if that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
And I'm like, I'm down for another girl. I'm okay with that. I kind of had anxiety about having two boys. I mean, I feel like I'm like used to a boy now, so it would be fine. But I'm like, I think it'll be a nice balance for Jude. So he won't want to wrestle this one all the time and maybe it'll be fine.
My sister and I are convinced that boys sleep worse than girls in general.
No.
No?
Mm-mm. No. Oh. I'm telling you, no one's worse than Bianca. And my friend's daughter, who was kind of that. Although I have friends who have boys that they were there first and they were just equally as bad.
I mean, like,
Bianca, we were not having anymore. And it was mainly for, like, one, going from zero to one rocks your world. You know, it's nothing what it looks like. It's not what I expected. We were obsessed with her, but it's still really tough.
Yeah.
And then, like, the sleep deprivation with her for so many years, I swear to God, like, I could never do it again. And I don't think I said this before and I'll say it again, like, you never get the same child, like, you won't get the same thing twice. And Jude was overall a better sleeper, and especially the first year, which is when it really, like, I needed it. So, like, his didn't get bad till like 13 months, and now we're at 20, let's see, he's 2.5.
Yeah.
So it finally started getting better, so we were, like, you know, 15 months of tough sleep. I personally feel like toddler sleep is harder too. newborn and baby sleep, especially if you're nursing.
Toddler's tough because it's like they're conscious, like Eli 100% is afraid of the dark.
They when, don't just go back to sleep. It's not this simple, like, put them back to sleep.
No, no, it's like, come in my room and cuddle me. I'm scared.
Real people, and their sleep is not linear. And toddlerhood's tough with sleep.
Potty training. Like, you got a bunch of factors.
Molars are painful.
Molars, yep. But anyways.
So we get back to where we're at. We called up. We talked about, were there any other breastfeeding things that you wanted to bust? Myths you want to bust?
No, I'm good.
You're like, no, I'm not cranky about anything else as far as that's concerned.
As far as being bit and gaining weight.
So we got a guest coming up that's super exciting. We have some other people in the background that we're going to try and get on that will be fun.
Yes.
So we have lots of good stuff planned for you guys.
So welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back, Sarah. It was good catching up with you.
You too. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
I gotta tell you some tea.